Get ready to be part of the Compassionate Revolution, where Loose Tea Music Theater brings you conversations about the future of opera. This podcast is hosted by founder Elena Vio, and together we're opening doors, breaking down barriers, busting myths, and sparking public discussion, all in the name of making space for change. Social justice is our compass, and opera is the way forward. Will you join us on our mission to create a more compassionate and inclusive world through opera? Let's make a difference together.
Hi, this is Elena Vio, founder and artistic director of Loose Tea Music Theater. Today, I'm chatting with Yanel Sills about developing community around opera. Let's jump into it. Hi, I'm Elena Vio, and today I'm here with Yanel Sills. Why don't you give us a little bit of an introduction about who you are? And
sure. Thanks for having me. Super excited to talk with you, Elena. I find we always have good conversations, so excited for what we'll talk about today. Right now, my life is full of all the things that I love, so a lot of community engagement and singing, opera, some musical theater for the first time right now. Yeah, very exciting. So different, very different culture. So that's been interesting to observe in my first day doing that. But yeah, so doing a lot of community engagement with the non-for-profit called Jammy Esplanade. And that's been really amazing. I started working with them as an artist in 2020 during the pandemic because a lot of their programming, at the time, all of their programming is outdoors in the David Cronin Park.
Yeah.
So it was kind of perfect for the pandemic because like outdoors was the best and safest option at that time. But that's been their model since it was established in 2011. So I've been doing a lot of work with them, and I was really drawn to them because I saw how authentic the community engagement was and their connection with the community. It was really clear that the art was there to serve the people who lived in the community, and I've never seen it done in such a authentic way. So I was really drawn to them. So that's what I'm doing a lot of now, and still singing lots of opera, and that's always a life-driven journey. And now with my position now, it's being funded by the Metcalf Foundation in their performing arts internship. And my major goal through that internship is to see how opera can service the needs of the community, or if the community wants its needs to be serviced through opera. So it's been a cool way to see how opera can, you know, just come down to, not even come down, like you meet face to face, you know, when you're talking to somebody and you have a genuine conversation, you talk to them, not above them or below them, you just have a conversation with them.
Oh, I love what you're saying. So just remind me, the internship that you're doing, that is for producing, and it's producing,
yeah, so
right?
People use it for a variety of things. Producing, arts administration. Some people do it to kind of build their experience in a specific skill. One of the interns this year, he's working at Shaw Festival as a music director, so he's building his skills. So it seems like it can have multifaceted to give you experience.
And yours specifically is
producing and arts administration. Yeah.
Awesome. Teacher, arts administrator,
yes.
Yanel. I love what you're saying about, and you are kind of right. We try not to say these things, but there is some truth in what you're saying about like coming down,
yeah,
or like, you know, not speaking above people, because I mean, as much as we try, opera does still have an elitism problem.
Yeah.
And that is a thing where, you know, I've been talking with many people who haven't seen opera for the first time, and I'll be like, come see something with me. And they're like, oh, what do I have to wear? And do I have to like, da-da-da, and should I read whatever? And then they get there and like, oh my God, this is so like fancy. And, you know, do I belong here is kind of the narrative that starts happening. And so clearly what we're doing is not quite working yet, but that's why I'm so excited with the work that you're doing with Jammy, because I was following them on social media for a while, and I loved how organic and authentic and just like real community it felt. And I've been in awe of what they've been doing. And then when I saw that you were joining them and getting involved like artistically, and then that you're doing this internship, I was like, yes!
Yeah, and I guess a better way to say it is like kind of meeting people where they're at instead of like coming down. I think it's definitely meeting people where they're at, and Jammy definitely leaves room for that. So when we're programming for the year, the artistic director is always very intentional about having some ideas, but always leaving room to respond to the community. So that has definitely created a team that can be very nimble, because I can see why other maybe bigger arts organizations, like, this is what we're doing. Either you want to do it or not, like, good luck, because it is a lot of work to be like responding to the needs of the community. Like, okay, the older women in our community want to do sewing. Okay, we're going to do that in a week. What do we need to buy? Who can we reach out to? Who can we WhatsApp? Who can we email? It's a lot of like on the ground work, and it's very intentional. And I can see why people don't do it, especially if they don't have a heart like for the people in the community. They don't like live and breathe in the community. And a lot of our team like lives in the community in the Esplanade. So they are definitely like pouring into something because they believe in it. It's their community. They really love it. So it really shines through in like the work that they do. So yeah, it's really inspiring to work with such a great team.
And that I do respect you are kind of always sitting in a place of change, I guess, if you are directly responding to the needs of the community and the people around you. And that can be scary, I guess, for some people. I mean, opera we know it's one of the most expensive art forms. There's a lot of things that go on with it, but maybe it doesn't need to be quite like that. So maybe how do you see, like, actually, before I ask that question, how does that interaction happen with the artistic team? Like, how does the artistic team leave room in their programming to be able to react to the needs of the community?
Yeah, that's a great question. Over the last year, maybe year and a half, maybe 3 years, we've been through a granting process also with the Metcalf Foundation called Staging Change. And we're in the final session of the grant. And that, I feel, has given the team the resources, like financially and also like through support of mentors from the Metcalf Foundation, to literally make room to listen to the community and to respond to the community. So we have this model called gardens, and it's a metaphor. We don't have like physical gardens, where we have a garden of influence. So we'll like invite the community in to hear about programming that we're thinking about and hear what they want to coincide with it. Do they want a workshop? Do they want to talk? And then we also have healing gardens, which is a need that the community said they wanted, a space where they can talk about like hard topics and it be worked through with an artist and a facilitator. So that's another thing. And we have gardens of remembrance, which is like a reflection thing of some of the big projects that we've done and bringing people back together and seeing like how they felt about a project and how it's impacted them to this day. So we, through the support of like granting foundations, we can have the accountability to really make sure that we're making space and making room. But that's also, without that accountability and that financial support, it definitely is the heart of it, because Jammy was basically a one-person team like until like maybe 3 years ago or 4 years ago.
Wow. And I know the feeling.
Yeah, so the artistic director Isareen Mark started Jammy in 2011. It was just like her when she moved into the community as a single woman, and it's been growing, and now she has a family and she lives in the community, and she would have support through like Canada Summer Jobs and like engaging the youth in the community to build leadership in them. And then I think when I did my first kind of sort job with them, a Canada Summer Jobs, I think the team was like 3 people, and now we have 7 people. So yeah.
Wow.
So it's definitely, wow, because it was just her initially, and because she has like such a like super artistic mind and also very super like business oriented mind, she was able to, it was just her. So she's like, okay, cool, let's do this. You want to do like a photography workshop, or you want to do a mural, you want to do this. And because she has just like kind of this like fervor for life, she made it happen. And yeah.
Wow.
So it's definitely very inspiring to see how, you know, how that's like translated into like a team of 7 people. and it will have a couple more support with Canada's summer jobs this summer. But yeah, it's definitely just making this space. And now we have a lot of programming and we have a physical space. So that allows for more ways that we can respond to the community's needs. But before I was just kind of all in the park, or she'd be like, talk to a couple girls and be like, oh, or like, you want to like do a song workshop? Okay, cool. Let me like talk to the recreation center. And because she's just so ingrained in the community and she's like built herself, there's a lot of trust. So people are quick to say yes to anything that's jammy oriented in the community.
Great.
So it's very like bam, 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 you know. Not easy, but it happens, and we have a really great team. So
then the next question then is, how, or can we extrapolate how, obviously it's kind of a different, maybe not different, but it's just a you know, not the same type of art creation, but maybe how could you see some of the ways that space is created or community is engaged, and how could mm-hmm. we, you know, be better at that in opera? I think most people would ask the question, like, how can we use that in opera? Which I don't think is the right way to phrase that, but like, how can opera be better mm-hmm. at those mm-hmm. things? Because I mean, there is a community, but I think there's many of us that feel like it could encompass more yeah. people and represent more people and be more for other people. Mm-hmm. So how do you, I mean, just in conversation now, like, what do you think, what learnings have you seen or ways of looking at things that maybe opera could adopt?
Yeah, that's a great question. Also, all of JAMI's programming is free, so that makes it really easy, in a sense, to draw people in. It still takes some work sometimes to build trust with certain members of the community, because we are a small team, in a sense, but I think that helps. And also, I think, unfortunately, because JAMI is like arts and like heart and feeling, and we do like a lot of reflective components even in our events, there's like a heart and like warm and fuzzy feeling that's often associated with our events and our programming. And although opera is like so beautiful and like moving and like you want to cry sometimes, I think for those of us who are like grinding in the community, are like trying to do our best to thrive in the community, it hasn't always been a safe, it hasn't been like a very safe,
you know,
place. And like, you know, like dynamics in a rehearsal room, or like, you know, even somebody coming out from, you know, from this elitist culture that we've been trying to break down in the last 20 years, which is really not that much time in perspective of things. So we're like chipping away slowly. I think that maybe in the few free opportunities, like we have the noontime recitals at the RBA, like if there could be some type of way that a community connection could be made instead of just like coming and sitting and watching, which I think has a place, I think maybe it could allow for more space to build that community. And then I think also in doing that in a way, if you want to introduce it to other people and you don't want to bamboozle anybody, I think maybe taking the name,
yeah, like opera,
pinned into the wall. It's like, you're at an opera, sit down. I think that the word opera kind of really deters people. Even when I was producing my first event with JAMI, we just like, I put the name of it. I like named it Stolen, and it was like a theme about art and theft. And I just said live music and discussion. And I didn't sing any opera songs, but I was using my like opera training voice to sing the songs that I sang, but I wasn't like the real feature of the artist. But my colleague, Iris, who does all of our marketing and our, we call Amplifying, she's like, should we put opera? I was like, no, don't put it. I was like, don't put opera, just put live music and discussion. And I feel like everybody generally can understand what live music is. But I think maybe we possibly could have had a different turnout if I branded it as like an opera event. And we had a really good response from the community and from my personal community. So I was happy to see that people who were local, which was my heart, you know, was like, I want to bring in the people. Like I have a very supportive community. It could be very easy for me to fill the space with like my mom's friends, my friends, and people that I care about. But I was like, I really want the people in the community to come. And so yeah. We had a very positive response. And yeah, I think just kind of finding language that we can all relate to. We can all relate to music. We can all relate to, yeah, having discussions. And then even the part of having a discussion in that event is also, I think, even though we're talking about like stolen art, which is a very intense topic, I think there was a sense of like community, like nobody left yelling at each other, which is my goal, you know, like hated each other at the end of the event. Yeah, but I think there was like kind of like a connection and or like a memory that was kind of solidified in people's like hearts. And I think, yeah, we should find a way in the free events that we do have to find a way to like connect with the people. And yeah, even like in their performances, like we have pre-show talks or like, I mean, the shows end late, but if there can be a way where people can connect with one another in a heart way instead of like, oh, like, what's your next gig? And, you know, it's still a kind of annoying.
Oh my God.
And I was like, I'm not telling you because I know you don't care about me. Like, you'll find out when you find out.
Yeah. And also, like, why does that, why is that the most important thing?
Like,
that's
something else. I always deflect. Like, if someone asks me that, like,
yeah. That's great.
I don't really know you like that. Why would I tell you? I don't know. That's just like a personal thing. But I'm like, I want to connect on a like a heart way. Like I don't have to do a heart to heart, but I feel like we can talk about more things that obviously relate to the art. So
man, it's so when you're speaking, I'm just like things are coming into my head. And yeah, the word opera, like we tend to like use the word opera a lot. And I feel like other genres don't as much. Like, why do you like musical theater is musical theater? They're just like, we're singing show tunes or something, and that feels like warm and you know, not daunting and stuff. So that, I mean, that's exactly why I didn't call Loose Tea opera. I called it music theater because I didn't want the like baggage associated with the word opera, and that it does. The word in itself has like a classist kind of connotation and a removal or like an arm's length kind of feeling to it. And I love this idea of, you know, trying to create warmth around what we do and not just like for the audience, but also between each other and in our rehearsal rooms. And that if all of that was maybe more warm, then the image that, you know, is the image or the feeling that then goes out into the community maybe wouldn't be so elitist or, you know, hard-edged or something. Like, perhaps if we were all, like, warmer with each other.
Yeah.
That the whole thing could be warmer for everyone involved. Yeah, I love that feeling of warm. And you also said, you know, we're all out here grinding. Yeah, and that's true. And I think people feel that. Like, people feel that energy of the fact that we are grinding, all of us in the industry. And maybe that leads to an inauthenticity, or not that, you know, that's not real, but that we feel the need to grind maybe as well. So then it becomes kind of itself, perpetuates itself. Geez. So How can we make opera warmer? Like, how can we make our rehearsal rooms warmer, or the way we approach the art, you know, more connecting or warmer? What do you think?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I feel like, because on one sense you have like, I mean, too much of anything is not good, or like one extreme to the next is not good. And I feel like it's like both, where it's like such an intense, scary work environment where like if you make a mistake, you're like, you fear for your life. I've been in there. And then you have another thing that's like so warm and fluffy and like nothing gets done. So I feel like, I'm just thinking about like the artists and the audience, or like the teams, or like, you know, the opera company, the artists, and like the audience. I think because we're kind of like, kind of separated, but kind of like together, that there can be a lot of like beautiful like dynamics that are kind of like low pressure. I think that you can do low pressure spaces. And that's another thing that I noticed today when I had my rehearsal for A Little Night Music, working with like musical theater artists. It's like so like more low key. And I guess the music is maybe not as difficult, maybe in this certain show that I'm doing, because I mean, musical theater is also very demanding, but there was just like such a camaraderie where like, you know, everyone's like, yeah, not perfect, no big deal, like we're gonna figure it out, we're working this out together. And by the end of the day, it sounded like so amazing. It was still like the show is still going to be amazing when we do it next week. But I just like the atmosphere was just like so much like at ease. And my other friends who were also singing Liebesleaders were all opera singers. And they're like, oh my gosh, like if I came to rehearsal and I wasn't perfect, like our heads would be cut off is what we were taught. Right. But there's just like this like attitude where people kind of come as they are. They are working hard and everybody's like so supportive of each other. And you're still getting like a high quality art. I think obviously there's some differences in like the demands of music, but it'd be interesting to see how we could kind of be there to more like support each other. But then I also understand why maybe opera singers, especially like international opera singers who are like zooming around the world, which is not glamorous. It's exhausting. You're away from your family. You know, you still maybe can't even survive. You know, flying all around the world. So I feel like there's a lot of things that are like set up for us to like be kind of like petty or to be not really mentally stable or to, stressed out and unkind, because just the way, I mean, like, especially in North America, the way that like arts are supported or like not supported, it kind of really sets us up for failure because we're all just so tired and there's no value seen in our work. So I feel, I don't know, there's no easy answer, but I think there could be ways where we're at least maybe given spaces we're allowed, maybe we don't force everybody to be like, what's your affirmation for the day or something? You know what I mean? Because sometimes you don't have that like capacity. You're like, I'm just trying to do this like thing today. I want to get into my character. And that takes a lot of energy. And especially in a space where we don't really trust everybody. We're just together for 6 weeks. I don't really want to tell you like where I'm at emotionally today. I just want to like, but if maybe if I knew that I had like the option that I can like talk to a stage manager or there's like some avenue or I have access to like a therapist, somebody who's not even in the room, then that could be a good like way, because just like being in the room, you're like, oh yeah, like I broke up with my boyfriend and the conductor, and you're like, you have a conductor that you really like respect.
Doesn't care.
You feel like you're judged by the conductor or the director. It's just like, then you by accident have made the safe like less safe for you, because maybe I'm just making up a scenario. These people are judging you now because you've told them how you're feeling today. But I don't know.
That's a huge thing. We definitely like, I have certainly felt judged by a lot of people when I'm like, I'm not well today. Like, you know, I walk around with a brain injury and sometimes I suck that day and I can tell that I'm sucking. And, you know, I know that I'm sucking, but I'm trying my best to be there. And then telling people that, I'm not on my best today. Like, there's some people that will be like, okay, no problem. Let's support you. And then there's other people that are like, whoa, like, you're clearly not a professional or something. And you're like, I'm just a person trying to make it through life.
It's so hard. And then I feel like we're sometimes, at least in my experience, we're told stories of like people who are in this traumatic situations and how they like still sung so beautifully at the Met as like a token of like look what they did.
That's what you're supposed to be like.
Their husband cheated on them, but they still sang gloriously.
And they still like powered
through. Their sister died that day and they still sang well. Like, why couldn't they just go? Like, why did they have to sing that show? I mean, well, because they had to get paid. But like, if there's like, you know, there's so many things that are against everybody. So it's like, there's no shame in those people who say, you know what, I'm still going to push through. I want to do that. But I feel like this has to be a way where people can not do that.
Yeah. And I felt sometimes that even when I try to set up, you know, a room like that, like everyone has to be on board. If one person isn't on board, then it starts to like that, you know, negativity will pull everybody down, or like that, you know, kind of still staying in that mindset of, you know, that we just talked about will pull everybody down. So I've found that even when I've tried to set up rooms like that, it's like if everybody isn't really on board with it, then it still is challenging, because like some people are like, yeah, let's roll with this. And, you know, maybe one person isn't. And then it starts to kind of filter through people. So it's kind of like, it's something that we all actually need to agree to.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, I just had a thought that maybe not on like the outward, but I think always an opera space has been like multicultural in terms of like you have people who are traveling all around the world. Maybe you have a soprano from like Germany, you have a tenor from Korea. Like there's so many cultures that are like in the space, and like some cultures, you know, deal with things differently. So it can be like a lot to be like, this is what we're going to do. And everyone's like, what? Like in America, we don't do that. Or in like, I don't know, like China, we don't do that. You know, it's just like, there's a lot of, I think, which also makes it a little bit more difficult because you have people from all around the world who are like in a space together for the next 6 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever. So that does make it quite difficult to access people's needs. You know, there could be a cultural barrier, a language barrier. So I think, I don't know, there's no easy answers, but I think if people know that they can have something outside of the space, because we're, you know, we're at work, we're like, we have a goal to produce a show. I think if they have the support outside, they can come in a better place, come into the rehearsal room with a better equipment so that they can, you know, sing the arias, do the stage production. So I think that kind of outward support can be really helpful. And it, knowing that you have that, or this company is providing you with that, then you feel like safer in the space. You're like, wow, this is something like that. Like X company like is going to provide me with like therapy or whatever. Yeah.
I think that's a huge thing. I think we actually, so for Angel's Bone that we did in November, we actually had mental health professionals in the room with us. And then they had access to them outside of the room and then also after the show. Because, I mean, Angel's Bone is about human trafficking. And that's not an easy thing to be working in day in and day out. But most opera plots or themes are challenging. And they bring up, you know, you're not going to know what comes up for you just because you've done Traviata so many times or something. You don't know what's going to come up to you. And also, as you said, you know, traveling around the world, and there's all these, you know, there's family pressures as well. And as you say, cultural pressures, that actually having the company provide some compassion care is what I would call it, would actually go a long way to allowing them to like settle into the work that they need to do. This came up a couple years ago, actually, a couple, as in pre-pandemic, at a Opera America, it was like the New Works Forum. And they were talking about how can companies support parents? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, there's a lot of people that are, especially when they're, you know, starting out in their career as well, they're traveling and they also have their baby with them, or they have, you know, young children that they need to bring with them. And then that's like a whole other set of, well, I'm getting the word right now, but like things that you have to organize and figure out and plan that is totally outside of doing your job. And so the conversation was, well, how can we, you know, help parents? I mean, they were focusing on mothers, but then I was like, hey, parents, it could be fathers as well, hopefully. Yeah. And it really is like, okay, well, can you provide, you know, a nanny? Can you, like, some sort of care for the child when they're at work? Daycare. Can you make sure that, daycare, make sure that, you know, maybe there's a doctor that's aware that they're coming into the city, or have diapers for them, or make sure that, you know, there's car seats available or strollers available for them, because those are not things that are going to be easily travelable or that they're going to be bringing with them necessarily. So it's all about like how, you know, the idea of being, how can we make this easier for them to do their job when you're bringing them in from all over the world? So
it's tricky.
Again, it's like support, and like that would allow them to maybe be more, as we were talking about, warm. I really love that word that you brought in. Warm in the rehearsal room, then they're not like stressed about absolutely everything, and then maybe that goes into their work in the rehearsal room, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, I don't know, just extrapolating, that might actually involve the community more.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good idea. Yeah, and I think also another thing that we are often like reminding ourselves at JAMMI is that we want to have like really intentional outreach or like communication with our community. And we're often reminding ourselves, like, okay, we can't service all of Toronto. So it's obviously different, an opera company. So we want to like make sure that we have like intentional relationships. So I think that could be a way, like you could have people, you know, supporting with childcare or like events or something. And then those are connections that you're making with people, like the people who want to help support parents, or they want to walk dogs or something. Like, you know, there's so many ways that you can support people.
Yeah.
And like, then the community knows like, oh yeah, I walk all the opera singers dogs. Or like, I think there could be ways to get them involved in just like the happenings, I think, of a company. And like, I think everybody likes to kind of contribute to something that is bigger than themselves. And like, from my experience growing up in church, like, you know, you have the choir, volunteers, like kids, like ministry, like working with children. And I think we all knew like we're just like helping to support the community. And there was like so much joy in that. And I think people, as cheesy as it may sound, they want to be a part of something bigger. And like, providing like more volunteer opportunities in maybe a variety of ways could, like, instead of just like handing out programs, or I don't know what the volunteers do
at. Yeah. Yeah. Actually, you just reminded me of, because I'm in Ottawa right now, the Chamber Music Festival. That's where I started stage managing when I was like 18 or something. But they have like an army of volunteers. They do, and they do all sorts of things. And is it perfect? You know, is the work that they do like perfect? No, but that's like not really the point either. It's about like training the community to be involved and to help. And like, I always thought it was so cool that, you know, like I volunteered because I wanted to see more shows for free. And it turned out that I was kind of good at stage managing. And then at the time, I think it was like second year university, I came back and like, and did it. And I was fully stage managing at that point. Cause you can like assistant stage manage with a more experienced stage manager. And there's like front of house people, and there's concessions people, and there's like a lot of different volunteer opportunities. And that actually like just created like a whole buzz around the whole festival, cause there were so many more people involved. And then what I found funny is like, then there was like a conversation about, you should apply for the production management job or something. And this was like when I was 22. And then lo and behold, like years later, I ended up as a production manager. But yeah, like you're just reminding me of that is like a world-class festival. And it is massively run by volunteers and creates this buzz in the city, and you know, people are posting about it and people are talking about it and bringing other audience members in because they're going. So it's really like, how can we provide more of those opportunities in opera, not, you know, and so it's really actually kind of getting outside of our brick and mortar.
Yeah, getting outside.
Yeah, right?
Absolutely.
Like,
yes, clearly. We've only had a physical space for like the last year and a half. But yeah, literally getting outside and meeting the people where they're at, which takes a lot of work. And I think there has to be people who are like already planted in the communities. And I feel like, for example, like with Of the Sea, which was like, produced with Obsidian Theater, which I think was a very smart move. And I think if Tapestry Opera just did it on their own, I don't think they would have had the same response from like the Black community, like the theater Black community. But Obsidian Theater has like done the work for, you know, X amount of years, and they have like a trust with the Black theater community in the city. So it was an easy way to get their audience to come and see the show. But I think it would have been very different if Tapestry Opera just said, this is what we're doing, like, come on over, guys. You know, they'd be like, who are you? We don't even know you. Like, is there any type of trust? So I think that's like a great example of like already seeing organizations who build trust and partnering with them and supporting each other so that you can, you know, reach a goal together. So I feel like it's cool to see how Tapestry has been doing that and continues to do that. I think other opera companies can do that with like theater companies, dance companies. Like, I mean, opera has all of the forms in it, you know, like,
Yeah.
I don't know, National Ballet or other smaller like dance companies or theater companies, you know, there's just like so much that can be connected, and like there's so many ways that we can partner with other organizations. And I think if it wants to be like a community thing, it has to be ongoing, because community is like accountability. Right. And accountability is built through like continuously checking in. And it takes a lot of work, but you got to be like, yeah, continually building those intentional relationships and like caring for people. And yeah, just like showing that you're caring. And I mean, no one's perfect, but I think it's that intentionality instead of just like opening the doors and like, you know, discount codes or whatever. I don't think that's,
people don't care about that.
They want to have that like trust and connection with the people who are running the things. And it's a little bit harder too, I feel, with opera, because we're a lot of the, especially at the big houses, it's international superstars who are floating all over the world. And unless you're very much in that niche, most people don't know who they are. So they're like, why would I come and see that? You know, or why would I pay $50?
Yeah.
But people will easily spend $1,200 to see Taylor Swift because they think that she is her friend. Like they think they're friends with Taylor Swift. They have this like connection that her music, you know, like has built with them.
That's a great example.
That Taylor Swift is a friend, or like, I think Drake is my friend, or like X, because their music, like I built a connection with them. So I think that it's a little bit harder to do that with, you know, singers just like going all over the world. And I mean, that's nobody's fault really. And we don't want everyone to be a superstar.
That is such a cool idea. That's such a cool idea. Because like, but Taylor Swift goes all over the world too. Yeah, that's so true. I mean, it's different music, but like it is that she has spent a lot of very intentional work and time making sure that her fans feel like they're her friends.
So
and being a part of that is like something that you want to experience.
Yeah.
So maybe we do need to be doing
that's
that.
So true. Like, and seeing
how do we make And maybe, I mean, just another idea to throw out there. Are the, you know, big superstar opera singers who fly all over the world, is that needed? Is that good for building community?
I would say it's like technically not needed, but it's needed because, you know, it's just it's a hard industry to be planted and to sustain yourself unless you're in Germany and you sing a festival contract. It's just like limited to one country. And then even the demands of being a fest artist doesn't work with everybody. So I feel that the international kind of floating all over the world is, I don't know, maybe it's needed because people have to survive. And that's maybe the way that they are able to sustain themselves in a way. So I think it's pretty hard, you know, with the different demands and the many different forms of which the classical voice can be used, opera, concert music, and like other examples. So it can be hard, but I think with social media, opera singers are definitely trying to build that type of like friendship community with their followers. But it just definitely makes it hard because they don't have like a touring schedule, maybe in the same way.
Right.
That.
Well, and like albums coming out and things like that. But do you think that maybe we're not being authentic? Because I think what Taylor Swift does is that she's like really authentic. And maybe we're still trying to, oh my God, sorry, this is just like connecting things in my head right now. There was a conversation at Orchestras Canada that Karen told me about, our director of marketing, that was something along the lines of like what boomers, kind of that generation, want out of classical music and what millennials and younger want out of classical music are like two different things. And so the classical music industry is kind of stuck between these two very opposing needs. Like for the older generation, prestige is actually something they want. So they want the singer or the music director or the whatever from Italy or Spain or whatever, Germany. Whereas younger generations are actually more interested in what is the social work and like what is the social justice? How is this affecting our communities? And there's all these conversations, or there seems to be the same conversation all the time in classical music about like, how do we get new audiences? But the problem is that they're still
obviously trying to satisfy the older generation who we know has all the money.
Yeah.
And they're the ones, you know, giving larger donations. And, but at the same time, they're like trying to bring in a new audience. But the old way that they've been approaching it, which is like prestige and elitism, doesn't actually translate to us. Like, we don't care. We're like, well, what is this doing for the community? How are you, you know, challenging the work or the themes in it? And how does that relate to me as a person in the 21st
century? Yeah, absolutely. No, I love that. That's
and the issues that we're facing.
That's a cool perspective. Because I can definitely see how that's true. And often, like, I ask myself, I'm like, hey, what am I really doing, you know? Or, like, how is this, like, impacting? Tom Diamond was our, like, theater, like, acting class teacher when I was at GDS. And he's like, you know, if you sing a bad note, no children will die. You know? Like, no small babies will die, I think was what he would tell us. I mean, we're trained that, you know, basically we will die over the end of our career. But it's
immediate death. Immediate death.
But obviously art, like, really fuels people and gives them hope and encouragement. But, you know, no one will die. You're really kind of
that's humbles, a great one.
At least me. And I'm like, I feel that very, very grounding. But I like that kind of like the younger audiences are more concerned about how this is going to be used to impact people, because it can be used to impact people for the better and to like change people's like hearts and minds. So I think we need to like find a way, which is like still a lot of work, to find a way to take that life after a show and you're just like, oh my gosh, I can like, that was so amazing. This singer like changed me. Like, how do we take that and like allow space for that so that it can be something that's just not like me, like beaming on the subway and just like writing in my, you know, like how do we take that and how do we translate that into something, whether actionable or something where like a response, like a community response. Sometimes I've seen in the past, they've done like little video talks with people in like the foyer after a show.
Yeah.
But yeah, like how do we take that and then people can see like how their, like their joy translated into something like physical. I don't know how that can happen, but I think we have to take like the juice or like the bubbles that the art can create and make something with it. I don't know. It's a lot of work. I have no answers, but it's something really golden.
You know, I mean, that's a great, and that's going back to like Of the Sea. That was the really cool thing in the lobbies was that afterwards people were mingling around in the lobbies and like sharing their experience, but also sharing just being there together as well, which I thought was really cool. Like at the end of a COC show, you just kind of like leave and everyone just like leaves. And within 10 minutes, the lobby is like empty. And I wonder if, if we created an atmosphere where it's like, no, hang out and like talk. And I wonder if it's just something that's been now drilled into the audience that they're not supposed to stay and they're supposed to leave as soon as like it's done. That, I wonder if there's a way that we can, like encapsulate or like or capture that.
That we can, that's for everybody.
So that we can talk and discuss. Donor
who like gave $100,000.
Well, I was thinking about like opening night stuff. Like usually that's reserved, like opening night parties are reserved for like specific people. And maybe it shouldn't.
Yeah, or there can be like, I mean, because that would be a lot of people, but I'm sure there can be other ways to have some type of community engagement in an opening or I don't know, any day, whatever. There can be like Of the Sea had the blackout night. Like there could be maybe some type of community day related to a show. Whether that's like in the afternoon or like, because evenings are, I mean, that can be hard for people, especially when shows end at 10:30. But there could be some type of like, it's like bedtime. But there could be some type of like post show or pre show thing that is like open to everybody. And it's, you don't have to be this, you don't have to be a singer, you don't have to be a director, you don't have to be an arts worker, you can just be everybody. And I probably would have to be outside, maybe in a different space. If you wanted to be in the community, like there's so many communities, you know, around the theater, around the rehearsal space. Jammy is, you know, based right behind the COC or right in the Esplanade. And so there's so many.
Or Buddies in Bad Time.
Like
right in the village.
Like there's so many, I think, ways that it can be done. But it can be, yeah, it's scarier when you haven't done it before. You don't want to
risk. It would be an experiment. Yeah. And that's, I mean, that is kind of the big, maybe problem or issue is that, like, it's seen as a risk when I'm not sure that it's actually a risk, because you need to be able to experiment and fail. And I guess that goes along with everything we're talking about like you going into the rehearsal room and needing to be 100% prepared. Otherwise, small children will die. And that like feeling of pressure that it has to be perfect all the time. Like maybe we just really need to be shedding all the layers, like obviously be prepared to an extent, but that's also a musical theater thing that like is very different from opera, which is that they will come in with only like maybe 50% of things learned. And then they will be coached for like a week or two while they're doing staging and choreography and like build in the character to their musical coaching, to their choreography. So it's a constant kind of
thing. Then because of that, like a lot of them learn music very quickly because they know that they like just that like training of that. Like even today when I was seeing like a transformation from like the morning to the evening, like they just like, especially they're like seasoned professionals, they are able to just take in the information and boop, it's like good. It's like low pressure. It's like, okay, like let's just do this. Okay, we did it two times. We're good. But
yeah, no, yep, yep. Yeah, but it's, I mean, they probably can like make those changes quicker because there's not that pressure of if you don't do it, then you're going to be fired.
Also, I think that's maybe a North American thing with opera, because I was talking to a friend of mine who's right now in Germany, and he was saying that his rehearsal space is like also more chill, and like they're allowed to make mistakes. And when he was first starting in his fest position, he was always like, oh, I'm sorry. I was like, why are you saying sorry? It's okay, like you're fine. And he's like, yeah, you can like actually make mistakes. So I don't know how that came to be. I mean, this is just his one experience. I don't know how it is for everything. But yeah, I think it's just like time and lack of money. So people don't feel that they have the time. But then that's also a disadvantage to the art, because even in theater, they have previews. You know?
Yeah, like, I know. Can we please have previews? I wish we had
such a beautiful concept to be able to try new things and see how an audience responds and get like feedback. I think at Stratford, they have like 2 weeks of previews. Like, what? We have one dress rehearsal, which still needs to be technically perfect because you have an audience. Like, not even...
Yeah.
I've never seen a dress rehearsal stopped. You know, I'm sure things are... You know, so it's we have no previews, and I don't know,
it just like compacts it. I mean, I know that orchestras cost a lot of money, but god, is there like a way that we could somehow have it just be like piano or something? I don't know, but yeah, taking away that like pressure cooker of time. And even with indie shows, like I've done indie theater shows, and they have previews, they have at least two or three previews. But with indie opera shows, it's like, no, you have the dress rehearsal and then you have 3 days of run. And and I mean, I don't know what the budgets for those, like, I don't know what they look like. Maybe somebody wants to have a conversation about that.
Just why can't we all just come together and just like tell each other what we're doing? Like, I mean, film sets, they're always over time. You know, they're always taking like 10,000 years. And I guess like where are they getting their money from, you know? Or like... theater, or we should just all just be in one space, have conversations like, this is how we're doing this. I feel like everything, and maybe it's happening, is everything is just so like opera, we do theater, this dance. I think it's like slowly changing, but if we all literally came together and just said, this is what we do, this is how we do it, you'd be like, oh, we don't think it could work for us, but like obviously it's working for you. I don't know,
so like how can we put those together?
Yeah
Look at us solving problems.
Talk to Taylor, your manager. We could learn a lot from each other.
Yeah. Well, we are kind of at the end of our conversation.
Time flew.
Yeah, I know. I love all of the kind of pathways that we went down today and, you know, on the spot thinking of ways that maybe we can make it better or incorporate different ideas. I love this. I love like this. We just need to like talk.
Yeah, just everybody needs to talk. But I also like acknowledge that, you know, I've only been doing this for like 5 years. You know, still so much learning to do. And that's why I went to the Opera Roundtable, because I was just like, I wanted to know like how people are doing things. Like, how does this even really work? And I feel like we just scratched the surface, but there's so many different like corners and bits of how to run any type of arts organization. So,
but I still feel like those spaces might still be have some parts of them that are maybe inauthentic, and we're still trying to like uphold this idea, as you say, like, I don't want to talk about my next gig. Like, why are you asking me about my next gig? That's not the most important thing about me. It's not the most important thing about your art or being an artist either. So I like in those spaces, like I was not there, but I have been in those spaces many times, and there still is like a mask that goes on and like a way of being that we all kind of buy into. And it's almost like maybe we should all just sit down and have a beer
and talk real.
Cause we do individually, like one-on-one. And that's actually why I started this podcast, was to, can we take these conversations that we're having one-on-one and make them more available to people so that they know that we're talking about these things, instead of just it staying kind of in this loop of individual conversations and closed doors and things like that. Like, can we, okay, we've talked about some of these ideas. Maybe some other people can talk about these ideas, and then we can come together and make the changes that maybe we need to do. But yeah, this has been really awesome. So
Thanks for listening to The Compassionate Revolution, a podcast by Loose Tea Music Theater. We hope you found the perspectives explored in this episode thought-provoking and action-inspiring. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so you never miss an episode. And if you haven't yet, please go to the Apple Podcasts to rate and review this podcast so other people can join us too.